Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello. Welcome to Alaska Edition from Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. Municipality of Anchorage planners are currently engaged in a project that could outline how the city may look 20 years from now. Anchorage neighborhoods are changing, and during the past decade, the municipality has seen growth and new challenges are spurring an update to the 2001 Anchorage Bowl Comprehensive Plan. That's Anchorage 2020 to you. And Anchorage 2020 policies are still good, but, you know, things have changed and they don't always cover the issues we need to deal with. So the city's taking a new look at its available land and figuring out the best way to use it to ensure adequate capacity for both residential and industrial needs during the next couple of decades. This week, a team of presenters has been hosting informational sessions around town on the Anchorage Bowl Land Use Plan Map Update. And they're here today to fill us in on how the community can further the discussion. So let's introduce our guests. Hal Hart is director of the Muni's Planning Department. Hello, Hal.
Great to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Tom Davis is a city planner. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. And Jeff Manfel is the president of the South Addition Community Council. Hello, Jeff.
Thank you for the invite, and it's an honor to be here.
Okay, thanks for joining us. And let's get right down to it. It looks like, according to the Anchorage Community Development Association, is it the Anchorage Community Development Association? No, community and... Anyway, they want Anchorage to be the best place to live, work, and play by 2025. And of course, that's a big order, and we have some fiscal uncertainty ahead of us, but I know the planning department is ready to meet the challenge, because since the turn of the 21st century, Anchorage has really grown. I mean, it's 16 years, it's totally different now. So Tom Davis, first of all, can you tell us what is the Anchorage Bowl Comprehensive Plan all about?
Well, sure, it's our city's blueprint for how and where we're going to grow. So where are new residents going to settle over the next 5, 10, 20 years? And where will businesses go? What kind of place will this be for our kids that come back from college?
We're expecting a huge amount of people, something like 44,000 additional jobs. And in 25 years alone, Anchorage will need to accommodate 21,000 additional households. Those numbers are staggering to me. So how does the update on the land use management plan figure into this, Tom?
Yes. So the land use plan map is our visual guide for where we're going to put that growth, where are we going to put the new housing. And it has a game plan, and a lot of that game plan has to do with focusing our growth in those neighborhoods and especially those centers that are best able to handle it.
So let's get to centers in a minute, but what are the challenges the planning department faces? And I'm sure they're huge. Who would like to answer that?
Well, there's a variety of challenges. Thank you. Variety of challenges. I think the first one is getting information out to the community. And getting information to the community, both the neighborhoods and to homeowners all over town, as to what the opportunities over the next 20 years are going to be. Mm-hmm. So perhaps someone would want to invest in their home and bring their home up to date. One of the opportunities that they can look at is, a grandmother-in-law apartment or something like that. That provides a greater housing for our community. There's a lot of different ways that this is going to play out over the next 20 years.
Right, and it's no secret Anchorage is running out of land for residential housing. Now, how is the planning department taking that into consideration?
I'll let Tom answer that one.
Well, it's true. We don't have enough remaining buildable vacant land left to take on the growth we anticipate wanting to come here. And we do have a lot of families we expect to come here, a lot of kids. So we expect to attempt to find places in and around our city centers, our town centers. These are existing business districts that have served us for decades.
And like I said earlier, there's something like in 25 years, it's expected that the Anchorage Bowl will need to accommodate 21,000 additional households. And we can't go north to the water. We can't go south to federal land. We can't go east to the mountains. Are we going to go up? Is there an answer to that question?
Well, in some cases, we may. There are a lot of innovative ways mm-hmm. to provide new housing types, whether it's cottage housing or smaller lot housing. There are opportunities for more townhouse type development where the units share a wall. But we expect about two-thirds of the future housing market to be interested in these more compact housing types.
You think so? So let's take a look at one of your maps. There is an overall view map which delineates different neighborhoods and how the different colors, explain the different colors, and how these will affect different areas, neighborhoods such as South Addition, North Star, Downtown, you name it, Hillside. How do planners take into consideration each neighborhood and how much more housing may get put into that neighborhood? How is that done?
Right. So there are all kinds of factors that play into it. We call it a data-driven plan. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest factors is, does the neighborhood have the adequate sidewalks and other amenities? Does it have parks? And if we were to recommend that there be more housing opportunities in an area to make sure that that neighborhood be provided with the sidewalks, the parks, the schools, so it makes an overall great place. And on that map, the yellows and browns are basically our neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods, and there's pink and purple too. Hal, maybe you can answer this. Will the map project become like the definitive blueprint? Is there room for a change in the future, or will this be locked in?
It's aspirational.
Aspirational.
So, I think that's a big word, but it's where we'd like to go, and we're getting data to support that direction. But it is a conversation, and the world changes very rapidly. So the way we envision that is that it's an ongoing conversation with our neighborhoods, with our larger institutions. This week, I noticed on one of the websites that Alaska Native Health had new podiatrists and new internal medicine folks moving in. So the world is always changing. There are going to be more jobs created in our community around healthcare. And that things like that will drive that conversation.
Right, the changes in demographics. And UMed, where we are located, didn't even exist a few years ago. It was the college, the hospital, and now it's this huge thing. I want to bring Jeff into the conversation. Some of the communities already have their own, the community councils have already outlined their own preferences, but how about South Addition?
South Addition is a unique and historic neighborhood, as you well know. So we're pretty sensitive to the what kind of growth is going to happen in South Addition. With respect to these folks' planning process, South Addition doesn't really want to be pigeonholed into here's what we'd like, here's what you're going to get. So we have been very proactive about creating resolutions and sending in comments. And so South Addition wants to make sure that we're not opposed to growth, but we'd like prefer controlled, responsible growth. And so, South Addition is very proactive in how our neighborhood is going to be grown.
Right, and South Addition has that gem of Westchester Lagoon, and
it does.
Certainly don't want to touch that. I do think South Addition has some of the most interesting architecture going way back. You can sort of see the city's growth from the 30s all the way up through the South Addition. So there's a lot of land in Anchorage, I believe, that is underutilized. Can Tom, maybe you could tell us some about something, how the planning department is looking at that. I know we talked earlier about between Dowling and Diamond, there's a lot of sort of industrial wasteland that isn't even being used. How does that figure into the picture?
It's pretty important. When we look at certain parking lots or certain lots in a commercial area with a small building on it, we see an opportunity there to create a a real place with more housing and amenities such as sidewalks, more business space. So a lot of the areas in town that are developed, they may be ready for more development to fit into the lot.
What is infill housing? You mentioned that in the guide. I wasn't quite sure what you meant by that.
So maybe there's a lot in the neighborhood that hasn't been built on, or perhaps there's space on a lot for maybe an accessory dwelling unit or a grandmother apartment or a second unit. And so if that can be fit into the neighborhood, keep with the scale and character of the neighborhood, it helps the families and the residents of the neighborhood have a more balanced environment.
So we would be using what is available. And is that the same thing as high density?
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead. What
Tom said and what I said previously was that to do infill, we have a lot of options available to us. And each neighborhood's going to be a little different with those options. And I think this is where design can, you can do density fairly well with when you think through the designs. So a walkable place, a place that has transit access, where you have options. You can walk, ride a bike, or move around, and then there's a park nearby. Those are the amenities that you that also come as a community matures a little bit and we put more density in. The other factor to think about as well, we need to think about our aging community. We're aging, the baby boomers, and Alaska is one of the fastest aging communities in America. So we need to think about that walkability factor to move around through all the seasons as well.
Right, and we have this poster of mixed-use centers, and I was going to get to some of the innovations, like you're talking about city centers, business corridors, walking communities. What's a mixed-use center, exactly?
So I'll start it, and then anybody can add. A mixed-use center could be a variety of things. I would think that in a neighborhood setting, it might be a small grab and go, where you have a small local coffee shop where neighbors can gather. A lot of times they're called third places. A third place is a place where you can meet somebody, have and talk to them. As we age out, we know that our senior community and people within the community need gathering places. It helps us live longer, and there's data to those to that kind of thing. So that's the small example, but a little bit larger example, maybe you have four corners, and those four corners, we want to help ignite the street on the four corners. Maybe that's the extent of it. So it can vary by size and by the area that it serves.
So I want to get at this, what's leaping to mind is a restaurant that was built in Turnagain a couple of years ago, sort of in a residential neighborhood, but on a major traffic artery. And it's small, it's discreet, and it's just sort of caught everybody's attention. It's become a very popular place. And those kind of small neighborhood businesses, will there be more room for them in this map planning procedure?
Yes, there will. And that example is so popular, people are driving from all over town to go to that neighborhood center because it's one that's available. And if there are more, then that type of traffic will spread out and decline a bit.
Right, and there's another downtown. There was this funny little, I guess, pre-1950s shopping mall. It was three units downtown that was basically ignored for years, and now it's got a thriving bakery and coffee shop in it and that kind of thing. I want to bring Jeff back in as far as community councils are concerned. How does your community council get input from the residents? Because, of course, this mapping project will affect residents all over Anchorage.
About 2 years ago, a South Addition resident started a private social network known as Next Door. And Next Door, you have to be live in South Addition to be part of this social network. And you have to provide proof that you live here to be part of the network. And as it turns out, you know, something like 60% of South Addition is now part of maybe it's not that high, maybe it's 50%, but it's quite a bit of South Addition is part of this social network. And people post things all the time, just like you would on, it's not Facebook, but it is kind of like that, but it's private. So this is how we're getting the word out, for meetings and for resolutions and whatnot.
Is there land in South Addition that would be available for like infill housing or any kind of
I know there's
housing?
Quite a bit of, on the very east side of South Addition, there's some underdeveloped land there along Cordova and stuff. So that might be an area where you're thinking of, which the residents aren't opposed to, again, responsible growth.
And how would you get that word of your community council's desires to the planning commission, planning people who are working on these matters?
Well, they have been very good about providing a link, a URL that says, please send us your comments to, and they have an email address and a link. So they have their own Muni webpage, and through Nextdoor, we have thrown that URL out more than once.
Okay, so there's plenty of opportunity, and we'll reiterate that at the end of the show.
I encourage all community councils to go to that URL and make their own personal comments.
A lot of people have questions like, will redesigning neighborhoods, first of all, will it change the character of the neighborhood at all? Or how is that taken into account? Tom?
I think for most neighborhoods in town, this map is really about enhancing, preserving the type of character that's there today. There are parts of town where there is an opportunity to transform perhaps an area that's older and may not have the sidewalks, the building stock is really old, to transform that in all kinds of ways with more housing, newer buildings, and more sidewalks, trails, and connections to those jobs, those grocery stores, the restaurants that are right nearby, and to really make that neighborhood a great place.
So maybe we would be creating sort of these mini city centers, maybe two or three shops where people could, not big box, not shopping mall, just small, discreet, small businesses.
Right.
Go ahead, Hal.
And I think one thing that to think about is the intent that I'm very leery of is displacing people from a neighborhood. That's not the intent that I think. It's just the opposite. As I'm going to go back to the aging metaphor again, but as we age, we may need less space. So if there are options in that neighborhood, good options to go to a place that it's a little less space to worry about as we grow older, then that's another thing that we would think about in that. So there's that option too.
And how do the maps influence zoning? Because at some point, we want to get to deteriorated neighborhoods. And can you answer that, Hal?
Sure. Well, again, they set the road ahead, so where we want to go. But again, it is a conversation. And so it's a conversation with each of those neighborhoods that would be affected about whether or not we have to make a change in the zoning. Sometimes it may be a discussion about design. In order to get that two-story building in, we worry about shadowing or something, and so there may be design issues. Another thing that might be there for the neighborhood would be, what's the type of housing that you would introduce into a neighborhood? So one that's worked in other cities that we haven't mentioned is courtyard housing. It's a throwback to the 1920s, in fact, of when when a lot of folks still didn't have cars, and they lived in some of the neighborhoods. A courtyard was another way to introduce introduce density that architects used. So people have generally found that more acceptable. It's usually one or two stories, but you have more units on that lot.
Right. So, and also, trends. I don't know, but I've been read that younger couples are not really as enthusiastic about owning a piece of property in the suburbs and owning a house, that they sort of like the urban, small condo, maybe small cottage. near a city center because it's of its convenience. Are you hearing a lot about that from people commenting? Jeff, you want to talk?
That's one of the advantages of South Addition. You know, the condos that are there, smaller housing, they don't have to worry about a big yard, and there are coffee shops and small stores in downtown real close, so mm-hmm. that fits South Addition perfectly.
And that would save land. Tom, you look like you want to say something about that.
Well, that, and we've heard the same from neighborhoods, residents from around the bowl as we've gone around the bowl, and there are opportunities to recreate that or enhance it, whether Jewel Lake and Diamond or mm-hmm. Abbott, where you have this town center nearby that you can walk to.
Yeah, I was going to get to maybe neighborhoods that are a little bit run down, deteriorated neighborhoods. Let's take a look at that map. There was an action map that outlined certain areas that are maybe in the sights for some bigger changes. Would you address that, Hal?
Well, we are, I believe, it's the map that I'm thinking of. that idea is, as Tom mentioned, where we may want to introduce additional density and vitality in the form of encouraging businesses as well. So, Tom?
Right. These are areas where if we can, as a community, whether it's the streets or the parks, whether we can help homeowners, property owners, developers in terms of making positive improvements in the neighborhood where we all pitch in together, we can catalyze a big change in an area that could really provide more different kinds of housing opportunities that we're looking for.
And one of the terms you used is focused reinvestment. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what does that mean?
So the reinvestment focus areas are possible areas that we've put out in this draft where we're looking for comment about where these are. These reinvestment focus areas would be a way for us to really coordinate as a community, whether it's the private investment of the homeowner or the developer, or it's our public works department thinking about where it wants to focus new sidewalks or underground overhead utilities. It's where we're all the different parties are working together, focusing on making a great place in that area. It's about coordination and working as a team.
Right, and would this be like major rezoning, major restrictions, or who wants to address that?
We'd put it in two categories, I think. One is incentives. Mm-hmm. So what would be an incentive? And that kind of, there's two things. One could be a tax incentive. Such as a break on taxes for investment in new housing in a particular location. Mm-hmm. I think the city of Juneau is looking at that. Anchorage has been looking at that. There are tools that we can use. The second one, as Tom was alluding to, is focused investment in terms of infrastructure for the kind of community we envision there. So maybe wider sidewalks, updated sidewalks, and a current treatment of that will be Spinard. And we're looking at the Spinard area now as a corridor, and there's a lot of interest in reinvesting along that corridor now.
Well, Spinard has that unique aura of going from this sort of seedy neighborhood to like a really cool place to be. It's funny. And you mentioned sidewalks a lot, so I'm happy to hear that. I love to walk, but I hear you saying less automobile traffic, maybe more foot traffic in the future. And I think that would fit with a lot of people's desire to get out there and exercise and stay trim and youthful. I wanted to ask another question. Is all of this going to result in higher taxes? This is always the question people want to ask. Are these maps and maybe changes in how we use our land, is this somehow going to translate to more money out of people's pockets, or is that even an issue with this?
Tom? Well, we studied this when we adopted the comprehensive plan, Anchorage 2020. It was the fiscal impact looks as though when we use our land more efficiently and we reinvest in it, it's the most economical way to grow, and as opposed to fewer businesses, fewer people supporting the same road infrastructure, the same maintenance. There's just more activity, and so the burden per property is not impacted by this type of development.
Just one more quick one, because it's in your overview here. There's pressure on industrial land now to get some of that land to change the use of that land. Is that an issue?
This is a big deal for us, because a lot of our locally owned businesses that pay a lot of the higher wage jobs that really export, these are our manufacturers, mm-hmm. our locally owned businesses, they're finding it harder and harder to compete in our constrained land market.
Okay.
And we would like to keep them here.
Okay, good. It's time to say goodbye already. The hour or half hour's whizzed by. I'd like to thank my guests, Hal Hart, Tom Davis, Jeff Manful. I'm Ellen Lockyer, and we will be back next week with another Alaska Edition. Thanks for tuning in.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.